Well, Donald Trump is making his first stop in Minnesota later this evening as the Republican presidential nominee. For many Somali Americans, his call for a ban on Muslim immigrants is a reminder of recent hostilities against people like them. It's been a rough week for the nation's largest Somali American population, and Trump's campaign stop isn't the only political spectacle that community members say is damaging their image. Laura Ewan has the story.
On the West Bank of Minneapolis, Kadra Fiki points out the obvious to anyone who can see. She's black, she wears a hijab, she's visibly Muslim. And so, as someone who regularly deals with hateful comments, Fiki says Donald Trump's visit to Minnesota is symbolic. She says he's not just an individual. Fiki says Trump stands for a part of America that is growing more hostile.
So Donald Trump, to me, represents that part of America that is anti-Islam, that is anti-immigrant, that is anti-black, that is now getting stronger and has an even louder voice. And has someone powerful like him that is representing that and coming to the place where I live.
Trump has called for a ban on Muslims entering the U.S. as a way to protect the country from terrorists. He's also painted a dark picture of the Somali community in Minnesota, saying the state has become a rich pool for recruiting targets for ISIS. Trump's words have not been lost on his supporters or those purporting to support him.
Hello. I just wanted to inform you all that when Donald Trump is elected president, you're going to have to close down your museum because there's not going to be any Somalis left in the state.
This is an audio recording the Somali Museum of Minnesota says it received last week on its office voicemail. The anonymous caller, who identifies himself as a Minnesotan, goes on to say that the fledgling museum would be forced to close its doors.
And we're going to put a ban on all Muslims, including and especially Somalis. Now, you go listen to Donald Trump speak at his speeches. He's talking about the Somalis in Minnesota. He's talking about them. What do you think is going to happen? They're all going to get deported. What's going to happen then to your museum?
And at a press conference Tuesday, 12-year-old Yusuf Dayur told reporters about an incident at school that left him shaken. Yusuf became an internet darling last year when he confidently declared on YouTube he'd become the first Muslim president of the United States. But today, that self-assuredness was heartbreakingly gone, as he described how a kid at school asked him, "Why do your people attack us for no reason?"
And that really affected me because I've never been bullied because I was Muslim. And it also felt bad because I didn't know what to do. So I just stood there.
Yusuf was speaking at a news conference hosted by Muslim civil rights activists condemning Donald Trump's rhetoric. A Trump campaign spokesman in Minnesota declined to comment. But another political fight is also rippling throughout the Somali American community. It started last week when a conservative blog picked up unsubstantiated claims that Ilhan Omar, the winner of a Minneapolis DFL primary, married her brother from England so he could receive U.S. citizenship. Several days later, Omar issued a statement. She said he was not her brother, but yes, she did legally marry the British man after she ended the relationship with the father of her children. Jamal Abdullahi is a DFL party activist who is Somali-American. He says many people in his community went from riding the emotional highs of Omar's historic win to feeling the whole moment was being hijacked. Many were left scratching their heads as to how the discussion could swerve so instantly to the possibility of marriage fraud.
The mood swing in the community is just quite remarkable. Here, at one moment, you know, very jubilant and very celebratory, and suddenly there's a sense of under siege.
Omar's Republican rival in the general election, Abdimalik Askar, says he's not going to press the issue of Omar's complicated marriage history. He's calling it a private family matter. Still another voter in the district, youth worker Abdurrahman Mukhtar, says he can't help but feel that the constant barrage of bad news and allegations is putting a stain on the community. While anti-refugee blogs continue to depict his Cedar Riverside neighborhood as a so-called no-go zone where Sharia law prevails, Mukhtar dares them to visit and see for themselves. He'll point out the coexistence of a bustling mosque next to Palmer's Bar.
And some of those people who are actually drinking may be Muslims who are not practicing their religion, while other Muslims are praying in their mosque and practicing their religion the right way.
And that, he says, is America at its core. Laura Ewan, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.